KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, presents the On Air Chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter and Aaron Harder.
Chilly Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to the On Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm going to correct you. I like to quote my dad. He would call this a beautiful winter day.
Well, it's going to be 55 later, so.
Well, bright sunshine, though. There is a little breeze, but we're having a reunion today.
We are. Going way back.
Going way back to 2015. You've been, Kent Snackenberg's with us with Team Snag. You've been here numerous times, but that was probably your first, wasn't it?
That was the first time to be on to talk about that, for sure. Talk about diabetes and first family that I'd really met in Emporia when we started Team Snacks. And by the way, I want to say good morning and thanks for having us.
Well, you're always welcome. You know that. And you brought some guests with you. Before we get to your guests, though, I got to ask you, how are you doing? You've been very open about your heart situation. Doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing better every day. Still in rhythm, which is a good thing at this point, and it's been about 2.5 months since my surgery and starting to feel like myself again, and I'm doing cardiac rehab right now at the hospital, which is going great. There's great girls there. The hospital's treated me great, and it's been a good experience overall, and hoping to try to do – I have a JDRF bike ride this weekend. It's called My Ride. I can do it in Kansas. I'm going to try to do it in conjunction with the Freedom Fest and get back out on the gravel for the first time. So we'll see how long that goes.
25 miles?
That's what I'm shooting for. But I'll have Natalie said she'd be on standby to pick me up if I needed. But I'm excited to get back out there again.
Don't push it.
I won't.
By the way, tell the girls at cardiac rehab hi for me.
I will.
I had a great experience there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to your guests. I'm going to start out by Kim Laporto.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you work, and you've been here once before, I think, at least.
At least once, yes. I work at ESB Financial. I'm human resources there. I've been there for a long time, 16 plus years, I think.
Okay. And with Kim is her daughter, Kaylin, and Kent. Kent, I'm going to let you introduce Kaylin.
Well, Kaylin, I'm just going to introduce you to the radio world here in Emporia, because the last time you were here, I don't think you said anything. And this time you're going to have to say something. So start off by saying, good morning, Emporia.
Good morning, Emporia.
Yeah, you did good. We met them right after she was diagnosed, which was back in 2015, correct?
Correct.
And if I remember right, she was 16 months old.
She was.
At the time, and I'll let Kim tell that story about that day that happened, because it was a pretty tough day for him. But now she's in third grade, and she's 9 years old, and she's actually been to Camp Discovery on one of our scholarships the last 2 years. The first year she went, she was 7, obviously, and she was not supposed to be there, but she got snuck in under a Team Snack exemption, they called it, and we didn't tell anybody, but the camp director let her in because she was so cute and they knew that she needed to be there, and now she's a leader at the camp, so we're always happy to be around her and her family.
Let's go back, Kim, to when she's a toddler, or maybe not even a toddler yet, 16 months old, and you guys... How did you find out? What symptoms was she showing, et cetera?
Well, that day she had been really sick. So she, and even her daycare provider was telling us, like, when she was napping, she was peeing through her diaper, and we just didn't understand. But then she got really sick, like lethargic, heavy breathing. She was very thirsty, which is one of the symptoms. Like I said, frequent urination, that's another symptom. But we didn't know any of that. We took her into the doctor, and they tested her for everything, flu, strep, all the things. But they just said, well, it just has to be viral. You'll have to go home, and it'll run its course, and she'll be better. But we did that all day long, and she just kept getting worse and worse. And so we finally went to the emergency room, and Children's Mercy was in December, so the weather was terrible. They wanted to life flight her out, but they couldn't. So Children's Mercy was on their way to Emporia already for another person in the ER, but they figured transportation out for that person, and they took over with Kaylin. And when they got here, Emporia had already tried to put an IV in because we found out she was very dehydrated, which we didn't know because she was drinking all the time and peeing all the time. So they were trying to put an IV in, and it just didn't stick. Like, they just couldn't get one in. So Children's Mercy came, and they tried the same thing. They even tried an IO, which is where you drill into your bone of your leg. And those didn't stick either. So they got on the phone with a doctor at Children's Mercy, and that doctor was asking a bunch of questions and finally said, I need a blood sugar check, like poke her finger. So they did, and I don't even remember what her blood sugar was. It has to be in the 800 or 900s. And they said, we think she might be a type 1 diabetic. She needs to get on the, they called it a truck, and make her way here. So she did. She got on the truck, and I think they, since they couldn't get an IV in, they just did insulin injections, little insulin injections, the whole ride up there. And when she got to Children's Mercy, the first nurse that got to her side got a PICC line, I think, in. So we were thankful for that, because then they could administer everything through there. So it was a long day.
How long until she was kind of herself?
So that whole day she wasn't. And then it was probably not until midday the very next day. Yeah, her body worked overtime. She was in DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis, and they didn't want to tell me this, but they did say she was probably a couple hours away from a diabetic coma. So thankfully we did not get to that point.
Yes.
Go ahead with your story about how you matriculated into being able to control it, treat it, and kind of get the doctors out of the picture the best you could.
Sure. So we are lucky enough to have an insulin pump. Kaylin has an insulin pump. She wears it all the time. And it will, it's very smart, and it doses her insulin throughout the day, like little doses throughout the day, just to try to keep her blood sugar level. It also connects to her CGM, which she has a Dexcom, so that reads her blood sugar, and it updates it every 5 minutes, and it updates to her phone, which then pushes out to my phone, my husband's phone, so that we can see her blood sugar all the time, and the nurses at the school. But her insulin pump and her CGM talk to each other, and so when her insulin pump says, oh, your blood sugar is over a certain level or number, we need to dose you more. So it'll administer a little bit more insulin. Or if it shows that she's going low, so probably, I think hers is maybe 80, set at 80 or something, it'll shut off all insulin deliveries. So it'll suspend the insulin, and it won't give her any more. And even if we go to try to dose her for food that she eats, it'll say that the insulin is suspended, and we'd have to suspend it before we could administer the insulin.
Kaylin, do they ever have to prick your finger?
Yes, sometimes.
How would you? What would it be like if you had to do that several times a day?
Well, I wouldn't like to do that because that would be all my fingers, but I have to poke it a lot. That would just, I'd just not like that.
I'm sure you wouldn't. So you got to be pretty appreciative of the technology that's created all these pumps and things that you get to use.
Yeah.
How long have you had those?
We're fortunate enough that because she was so small, that our doctor at Children's Mercy, before we even left when she was diagnosed, was pushing our insurance and fighting our insurance to allow her to have a pump. Because pumps can give very small doses of insulin, where if you just have an insulin pen, the smallest you get is half a unit. And at that young of an age, a half a unit would be way more than what she needed for what she ate. So we got a pump pretty, I want to say it was a couple months after she was diagnosed. So we did have to go home doing pin injections, but we got it pretty quick.
Good.
Kent, I'm going to divert from the Laportos for just a minute because you've recently met Judy Hedrick Mason.
Correct.
Who's my age and was one of my first employees at Valueline back in the 80s. And talk a little bit about her journey with she has type 1 or type 2?
Type 1.
Type 1.
Yeah, when she was actually one of the people in my cardiac rehab case because she's had some heart issues the last few years. But she, if I remember right, she was diagnosed when she was about maybe 13 years old. And so I think she said she lived with type 1 for 63 years, which is pretty amazing. I have I met a gentleman on a bike ride earlier this year in Michigan, and he was in his 80s, and he had been diagnosed. He'd been living with type 1 for about 50 years, and he didn't start riding a bike till he was in his 60s, and he rode 25 miles that day. And so those are the oldest two people I've met that live with type 1 diabetes. But she was just, when I walked in there, she goes, oh, it's you. And, you know, she had followed what we do and stuff, and just got a chance to talk to her and took her a couple of our shirts and stuff, and she's just very sweet, and she's very appreciative of the technology she has. And it just proves that, you know, with all the good things that happen now and all the technology and stuff through the money that's raised, that you can live a long and healthy life. There's obviously every day is a new day. It's never the same. I'm sure Kim could tell you that, and there's a lot of things that go with it. But if you take care of yourself and you do the things that you're supposed to, you have a chance to do anything. It's kind of like your T-shirt says, I can do anything, or your hoodie says, I can do anything except make insulin, which is basically what that means. She's going to be able to play sports, and she's already playing sports. We played a game of softball with one of my granddaughters against her team this year, and she did great. And I just but this lady's amazing, and I know that one of the first things she told me that she worked for Steve for Valueline for a number of years, and he was a great boss and took great care of her.
We, Judy, of course, was having to test every day and found out there was a test kit or a test, some kind of technology and advancement, but insurance wouldn't pay for it, and so we bought one for her, which made her life easier. But
that's great.
I'll tell you a quick story. When Jamie, and you guys know Jamie, was in kindergarten, he went to work with me one day, and it was about 8:30, quarter nine. And we showed up at the switch room for the telephone company that I work for. And Judy ran the switch room, and she wasn't there. It was very unusual because she reported for work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Started calling, couldn't get a hold of her, called her mother. Her mother said she didn't know where she was. So we jumped in the car, and it was an icy, snowy day. We jumped in the car, got to her house, and her car was parked in the driveway covered with snow, so we knew something was wrong. Fortunately, her bedroom was on the front of the house. We got up on the porch, and we could see through the window that she was in bed. And Caitlin, she was in a diabetic coma. And we went around the back door, broke the back window out. Jamie crawled through, and we went in, called 911. It's the only time I've ever talked to 911 in my life. Mm-hmm. They said, is she breathing? And I said, God, I don't know. So you're lucky. Yep. All this technology and everything, and all the people taking care of you. So, does that scare you a little bit?
Yes.
All right. We're visiting with the Laportos, Kim and Caitlin. I thought I heard you say Keelan, but it's Caitlin.
Caitlin, yep.
Not Caitlin. Caitlin. And Kent Schnackenberg, who needs no introduction. We're going to need to get our first break in. This is the Monday morning. No, this isn't the Monday morning quarterback, is it?
On air chat.
We got Laportos here. So.
Yeah. Sports.
I know nothing about that.
See, on air chat, Bruce Davis Construction's our sponsor. You're listening to KVUE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job.
Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Details at KVOE.com. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
KVOE, live and local. It's time now for local news headlines. Being brought to you by MainStay Suites. Remember, MainStay Suites. When your group needs an accommodating room to gather, you can book reservations by calling 620-343-7756. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here's Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. A lot ahead for Emporia City Commissioners with their action and study meetings taking place here today. The big item for the action session here today is a possible community improvement district for the Fairview Hotels project. This is 3010 Eagle Crest, the site of the former Cracker Barrel and Montana Mike's restaurants. Updates coming here today on KVUE and KVUE.com. Big honors coming for a couple of Emporians through K-State's Huck Boyd National Institute for Rural Development tomorrow. Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow members Rebecca Herrera and Patricia Sainz Reyes being recognized for their diversity work. And extradition processes for Philip Lawrence locally are on hold at least for a week after attorney illnesses. Extradition counts here accuse Lawrence of unlawfully leaving Colorado after two reported murders of fellow Emporians. KVUE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Well, sunshine for the next several days to come. Today's high 50, tomorrow's high 59, Friday 67, and Saturday 67. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently here at the KVOE studios, sunny skies, 32 degrees here at KVOE. All the information you need, live and local. Local news headlines brought to you by MainStay Suites at 2602 Candlewood Drive. MainStay Suites, live like home. Now back to the on-air chat.
Snackenberg's with us, Steve Snack. And got his rock star with him, Caitlin Laporto, as a victim of type 1 diabetes, who has worked with Kent and the people that help with this disease since 2015. And they were one of our first guests here on the chat. And the Laportos, it was a little more dramatic that morning, Kim.
It was, yes.
Are you, I mean, how would you make a list of the people that have helped you and the things that you've learned?
Oh, I don't know if I could make a list. Just there's a whole lot of people that I don't even know that have helped us. So, and we have learned a lot. And it's different for every type 1 diabetic out there. Anytime Kent hooks up with somebody who's newly diagnosed, if they're in this area, we try to reach out to them and offer support.
So like there is a support group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Caitlin, you've been to camp twice, right?
Yes.
And one time legal and one time not?
Yes.
Did you have to kind of sneak around that year when you were just 7?
No.
Just one of the kids.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about camp. What do you enjoy the most? What do you guys do on a day-to-day?
What I enjoyed the most is when we went swimming in the morning. So,
what, swimming in a swimming pool or swimming in the lake?
Swimming pool.
So what's your favorite thing to do in the swimming pool?
Swim.
Okay. To tell us about a normal day at Camp Discovery.
We usually wake up and get ready, and then we go to breakfast, and then we go back to our house.
But you have a lot of activities throughout the day because
Yes. One
of the great things about sponsoring these kids is they let us come down there on one of the days, which is usually Wednesday, and call it Team Snack Day. And this year we gave everybody bright red Team Snack shirts, and so there's all these people wearing the same shirt. And it's the great thing I think about the meals, and they all get together in this big dining hall three times a day, and they help each other. And you have to go before you eat. You have to get your blood sugar tested right, and then they announce when people did new things, like if you were the first person to wear your pump all day long that day, or you were there giving yourself shots that day. It's they really do a good job, I think, don't you? All the counselors, for the most part, are all type 1 diabetics that have been through the camp and come back just because they want to help. And I know that some have been there like 15, 17 years, and they want to come back every year and help newly diagnosed kids like you.
Yes.
Have you made some friends at camp?
Yeah.
How often do you get to talk to them? I suppose you can, you got social media working with them?
No.
You don't have a phone yet?
I do, just I haven't. Really.
Just to have one.
Yeah.
So to get a, what have you learned from your friends about diabetes or about what they do? Who's your best friend? Tell us the best friend you made at camp.
Her name is Tiffany.
Where's she from?
I don't know where she's from.
What do you like about Tiffany?
She's really nice.
And is her diabetes a lot like yours, you think?
She has a different kind of pump than me, but yeah, she's similar.
So you get together at camp with these kids, you talk about what kind of pumps they have, compare your technology, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So
did you ever get to do the big what do they call it up in the trees, the real tall thing?
Zip line.
Well, but they also had, like, these climbing things, remember, out there? You weren't old enough to do that yet, were you?
No.
But you will be soon. So do you remember your counselor's name this year?
Jordan. That was one. Who's my top?
And how many kids were in your cabin do you remember about?
I think 13?
13 or 15, yeah. So they're all basically put in different cabins with kids their own age and obviously the girls and stuff, so it makes it a lot easier.
How many kids get to go to Camp Discovery?
They can take 100 kids a year.
All at one time?
Uh-huh.
And so then they have one session?
Yes, they have one session. It's a full week, and they have one here, and then they have another one in Kansas City at a different camp, but it's the same organization puts it on, but there's one of the things I was really impressed with, and Natalie and I both feel comfortable sending kids down there because it's a big responsibility. It's really hard on the parents, as I'm sure you realize, especially the first year, that they have almost 40 or 50 of the counselors, doctors, and nurses there for those 100 kids. So they're very safe there. They're surrounded by people that have lived with the disease or treat the disease on a daily basis, and the people are just really nice. It's like any other camp. They do the same kind of things, just everybody lives with type 1 diabetes, so there's a lot more involved into watching the kids and taking care of them, making sure everything's okay, because they're kind of cut off from their parents. They basically have their phones, but they can't just call home and say, I'm homesick or I'm ready to, because if they come to get you, you're gone for the week. And so it's a big responsibility for the counselors to make everybody feel comfortable. And that's where, like, Kaylin comes in with, there's going to be new girls that come in the next year too, because I know you're going to go back, and they're going to be like you were the first year. They're going to be scared, and you just need to be a good friend to them, right? Just like you do at school.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable sending her to like a day camp at Camp Alexander with her tech that she has and the monitoring that you guys have? I'm sure sending her to the diabetes camp is a lot more reassuring because of, one to two and doctors and counselors and that. But are you comfortable with the tech sending her to non-diabetes camps?
Yes and no. Yes, because I know that I can see everything on my phone and I can get a hold of her because she has a phone. But like a day camp is nerve-wracking for me because I feel the need to sit down with a counselor or something and say, okay, this is how this works. You have to keep a close eye on her during these times, because a lot of times when she's active, her blood sugar could fall, and it could fall fast, and then you have to be pretty quick to fix a low blood sugar. But like with
and
camp,
you have to get with her to do that.
Yes. Well, I don't have to, but she'll need something that's like a fast acting fast-acting glucose, sugar. So sugar. So like a
sugar to the nurse.
Sun. Yeah.
Or the counselor.
Yes. So she needs to stop all activity, probably drink a juice like a Capri Sun, or have glucose tabs, which are just sugar tablets, and then just sit and relax until her blood sugar comes up to a...
How long does that take typically?
It could take some time. It could take 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Caitlin, do you know that's happening when it happens?
Yes.
You can feel it?
Yeah.
So you sometimes say to your teacher, I'm in trouble, or do you just wait for mom and dad to see it on their phones?
I tell my teacher and stuff.
Like, can you describe what it feels like?
I feel like shaky. So, like, I don't. And yeah. Then my tummy hurts really bad. And I have,
so several different things.
Yeah, mostly.
But you're probably already in the nurse's office drinking Capri Sun before mom and dad even make contact?
Yeah.
And don't you think, you've told me anyway, that, and I've heard this from other families, Emporia is blessed to have not only good schools that care, but good school nurses for the most part, and they're there to help you. Because it's hard on them, too. It's very challenging. It's dangerous. And I'm sure a lot of the nurses are, you know, they're scared, too, until they learn more about it and stuff. And,
yeah, 100%.
Because, Caitlin, you're the only student in your school, correct? That's type 1?
Yes.
Which, as many schools as I've been to, that's pretty unusual to just have that. But
does Emporia have a nurse in every school? I thought there was a nurse for the elementary schools.
There's a couple that are shared.
Yeah. We're lucky enough to have a school where we have a nurse there every day.
Yeah, that would be nerve-wracking make a difference on where you go to school. So.
Yep.
So, and you answered my next question, which there's no other kids. But you know other kids in Emporia that are type 1?
Evidently. I do know a kid, but she's like a toddler.
She's younger than you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do?
I know a kid, but she's just younger than me. So we helped her out.
What can you tell if you can't do that other kids can do? Is there anything that you know off the top? I know you can play sports, so.
Is there anything you can't do?
No.
Nope.
What's that?
I can do whatever I want. I have to keep track of my blood sugars.
As long as it's okay with your parents.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, being around you now for 30 minutes, I can understand that you can do whatever you want. So, how are you doing with those braces?
Good.
We had a little talk about that. They hurt sometimes, though, don't they?
Yeah.
And you get to change colors?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom had an idea. You're going to follow up on that and change them to Team Snack?
Yes.
That'll make Kent happy.
Have you had them Hornet colors for your dad yet?
Nope.
No.
You might want to consider making him happy first.
Black and gold tee braces. I'm not sure.
Good.
Just get black.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kent, of those 100 kids that are at... Camp Discovery, how many of them does Team Snack have a hand in them getting there?
Well, this last year was we set a record, and we sent 36 kids on full-ride scholarships. And, you know, Kim had said before it'd be hard to make a list for, you know, all the different people to thank for people that have helped her. And I think that goes back to the generosity of the people in Emporia and around Northeast Kansas and, you know, our fund at the Community Foundation and so many people that give us money that help kids like Kaylin go to camp, and this is a good example of how much it means to them and means to the family. So this would be a good time for me to just say thank you again for everybody that's donated money and continues to donate to us every year. It's a real blessing, and I think we've sent somewhere in the neighborhood 150 to 175 kids since we started the program. And so I think the camp in the American Diabetes Association is very appreciative to what we're doing and works with us very closely and gives us a chance to do this.
Go ahead and go the rest of the way. Match day is coming up on the 13th, so if people want to donate, forget about Team Snack.
Yeah, and not only Team Snack, but all the organizations that are in there. I think there's 35 this year, and they all do great things in their own way, and we've just been blessed. And I tell Shirley Aunties all the time that the day I went in to sell her a chair and she ended up making me, I think she bought the chair, but she also got me to open up a fund. It was one of the best days that happened to Natalie and I because it's really blessed us and been able to help so many people.
Team Snack, or not Team Snack, but well, Team Snack has benefited. Match Day, of course, is through the Emporia. I guess you'd have to be a cocoon in a cocoon not to know about it in Emporia. But it's a product of the Emporia Community Foundation. I think seven different foundations, the Riebel Foundation, Trussler, and some of those, Clint Boyer 79 Fund, they all started out putting in $10,000. I think they had the first year they did Match Day, they had $70,000 as a base. And then people can donate, and you can donate just to the whole, you can donate to the base, or you can donate to a specific one of those 35 or all of those 35, and then it all gets added up. This year, they're up, they went from 70,000, they're up to 170,000, is that right?
I think it's 170 or 175,000 as they have as a total for all the, for the matching pot that they will work out of.
And that's helpful for people like the Laportos, too, because it helps with your work, which extends to knowledge and all that kind of stuff.
Correct. Correct, yeah. You know, November 1st, which obviously is today's the first day of Diabetes Awareness Month, so this is a busy month for us as far as getting signs around town, going to as many schools as we can, and traveling around the country. We'll start that again pretty quick.
Let's talk more about that when we come back. We'll get another break in as we visit with Kent Schnackenberg from Team Snack. Rock star Kaitlyn Laporto and her mom, Kim, who she brought along. Before we go, Kaitlyn, who's your favorite movie star, celebrity, or something like that? And you can't say Taylor Swift.
That's who she had, Steve.
I don't
know. Go ahead and say Taylor Swift.
Yay, Taylor Swift.
What do you like about her?
I just like her songs.
Do you like her songs?
Can you sing anything for us?
No.
Okay.
Can you even name one of them? I can't.
Tell Steve who you and your sister.
Take it off.
Tell your tell Steve who you and your sister went as Halloween last night.
I was a softball player, and my sister was a unicorn princess.
She was what, a unicorn
princess?
A unicorn princess.
Yeah. And so where all did you go trick-or-treating?
I went with my friends, and then we went to the Zoo Boo, or Boo Zoo.
Boo in the Zoo.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got lots of candy?
Yeah.
Do you have any restrictions? I mean, diabetes is all about sugar and so forth, so are you restricted from eating your...
She's looking at Mom for the listeners.
She is not restricted. She can have whatever her heart desires in moderation, so she can't sit there and eat her whole bag of candy up in one setting.
Is it with her tech? Is it a, you know, eat a Kit Kat, wait a little while to see what her glucose is, and then maybe have a second one?
Yeah,
later?
If she eats a Kit Kat, then we'll have to dose her for the carbs that are in a Kit Kat, and then hopefully it'll make her blood sugar stable and it won't rise her or make her drop. So, but she doesn't have to eat a Kit Kat and then wait a certain amount of time to eat another one, but we just have to be able to give her the right amount of insulin to cover the Kit Kat.
Which is basically every meal.
Every
you
meal.
You have to count carbs.
Every time she puts anything in her mouth.
And fluids included.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yep.
I want to ask Kaitlyn about her dad. He's a football coach. He's a big guy. You bring Halloween candy home, do you have to hide it from him? He could eat it all in one bite, couldn't he?
No.
Do you hide it from him?
No.
You share it with him?
Yeah, kind of.
Does he ever bring any of those football players home with him?
Nope.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
You have never had a crush on one of them, have you?
No.
No boys?
Good for you.
No.
Good for you.
Good answer.
All right, let's go to break as we visit with Team Snack and the Laportos, Kim, the mom, and our radio star now, Kaylin. This is gosh, I started doing it again.
You're good.
Yeah, this is the on-air chat. You're listening to KVOE. Dylan, it's your fault. We got Dylan in there running the board, and he's grinning and laughing at me. So it happens every week, so you get used to it. So it's on there. This is the on-air chat. You're listening to KVOE. We are live, and we're local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Turn down your TV volume and crank up Country 101.7 to play Watch the Chiefs. Listen for the two Kansas City Chiefs mystery players each game, and then tune in the following morning for your chance to win. It's Watch the Chiefs on Country 101.7 FM.
KVOE, live and local. It's time now for sports headlines, being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you. Go where you want. From the KVOE Sports Desk, here's Blake Cripps.
Well, not going to be worth any wins, but the Emporia State men's basketball team is ranked 20th in the preseason coaches poll. Emporia State basketball in the preseason poll for the first time since 2007, the year after the program's first ever NCAA tournament appearance. 23-9 last year, 15-7 inside the association. First back-to-back 20-win seasons since doing it three straight years from 1987 to 90. Northwest Missouri, 10 of a possible 16 first-place votes. They'll start the year number one in all the land. UCO is ninth, Fort Hays State receiving votes. Kansas State hosting the Hornets in exhibition play tonight. Pre-game coverage 6 o'clock on the K-State Sports Network on Country 101.7. Our RV Doc pregame show begins at 6:30 for the Emporia State broadcast on Mix 104.9. Initial college football playoff rankings were released yesterday, and believe it or not, KU and Kansas State, both inside the CFP top 25, Jayhawks at number 21, and the Wildcats at number 23. Surprisingly, Ohio State was picked first, Georgia second, followed by Michigan, Florida State, and Washington, Texas seventh, Oklahoma ninth, and Oklahoma State was 22nd. Pretty tight night in terms of scheduling here on KVOE. We have got Hawk Talk for you with Lance Leopold to get you caught up to date on KU football, 6 to 7 o'clock, and then we'll join KU basketball coverage at tip-off for the exhibition game, the Jayhawks hosting the Fort Hays State Tigers tonight. That's sports. From the KVOE Sports Desk, I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake, with that check of sports brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive, 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at ThurstonsPlusAutoBody.com.
All right, welcome back to the on-air chat. Got it right that time. Aaron is going to be a city commissioner. And as we visit with the Laportos, Kim and Kaylin, and Kent Snackenberg, and Kent, November 1 is the date you requested to be here because it's National Type 1 Diabetes Month, right?
Right, Diabetes Awareness Month. And so I just wanted to we were talking about Halloween candy earlier and stuff. And so there's several things about this disease we learned as we got into it. And one of the reasons we're so big on spreading awareness is just because people just misunderstand it. It's just been a quiet disease. I mean, there's 200 to 250 people a day are diagnosed, and most of them still had never heard of the disease. They don't know what's coming, similar to what happened to you, and you end up in a very precarious situation because even the people around you didn't recognize the symptoms. And so obviously raising money is very, very important, and we've raised a lot of money for JDRF, and we've raised a lot of money for Team Snack to help kids in Kansas, which is our big driving motivation now. But it's important to realize that type 1 diabetes is different. It's an autoimmune disease. There's a lot of autoimmune diseases in the world, and she didn't do anything wrong to get this disease. It's a lot of people think, well, it is because they ate too much sugar. It's because they don't get enough exercise. It has nothing to do with that. She basically, you don't get type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes just gets you, and it's crazy how it just picks certain people. And so it's important to know that her pancreas quit working because this disease attacked the beta cells in there, so she can't produce her own insulin, so she has to have it and has to give it to herself through a pump or through shots. And she can eat all the candy she wants. It's just going to make her sicker sometimes, or she's going to have to dose before or dose afterwards or whatever. And so she's going to be able to do, like her sweatshirt says, her hoodie says, she can do anything in the world, and it's not going to hold her back. But it's just important to get the word out about the symptoms of type 1. And the number, I'm just going to give you the top few, which you guys recognize. She was very sick. She was very thirsty all the time. She was drinking a lot of water. At that time, she was peeing through her diaper. Kids are going to the bathroom all the time. They've lost a lot of weight. I'm sure she lost weight. They aren't themselves. When my niece was diagnosed, which is why we started Team Snack for my niece Michelle, who was diagnosed when she was 13. She had lost a lot of weight, and she was lethargic, and it was around Christmas time. She was laying around our house, and they finally went back and got some doctor to do a prick her finger and check her blood sugar. It's a real simple test. It's just hard to get to that point of everybody just thinking about doing that on any pediatric visit or whatever. And so it's just important for us to spread awareness about the disease. And we love these kids so much and their families because they have to go through so much that people don't see throughout the day. And by continually to help them with expenses that this disease costs a fortune to live with anyway, and giving a chance to send them to camp, we're going to try to continue, even if I'm not riding around the country in my truck or riding my bike, we will still want to continue to raise money to help the kids in this area and help the kids of Kansas.
Is there a time frame when this typically shows up? Is there a certain age, or we're talking Kaylin, who was a baby. You're talking your niece, who was 13. We're talking what's her name, Longbine.
Yeah.
Who was in college.
Yeah, Lexi was in college. No, it's about half the people that are diagnosed today are considered kids, and half are young adults. A lot of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. I mean, we've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people traveling the country and at these bike rides. I mean, when we're in Florida here in about two, right after Thanksgiving, there'll be 650 riders and their families down there. And a lot of them are, a big percentage of them are type 1 diabetics, and they were diagnosed at all different ages. So that's why it's important when we hand out all these T-shirts and when we ride, we always have the symptoms on the back or on the side of my truck. You'll see some yard signs around town after the election that we'll put out that have the symptoms on them, and I would just urge people to try to learn those, at least try to remember as many as you can, because it will affect somebody in your family or somebody you run into sometime in your life.
What's the mortality rate? How many people do they say actually die, or do most people fortunately now get help before that happens?
I really don't have any exact figures on that, although I know that a lot of the people that live with type 1 diabetes are very lucky. They're lucky they got diagnosed. You guys are extremely lucky. I know that night you sit there and we're thinking a lot of really bad things as you're holding your little girl. And she was actually extremely lucky to be here with us today. It's because somebody finally decided to give her, prick her finger and check her blood sugar. And there's a lot of people, though, like Judy, for instance, that live a long and fruitful life with this disease. It's just really hard to live with, and you have to do a lot of certain things. But unfortunately, I've been in too many homes that have lost kids to being misdiagnosed and undiagnosed, and it happened here in Emporia a few years ago, and, that's tough.
When that night or that period of time when Kaylin was a baby and was having all these symptoms, and would you end up going to the emergency room?
Yes.
And talk about that experience. Did it work out? I mean, they obviously didn't take very long to make a decision that you needed to go to Children's Mercy.
Yeah. When we actually called the paramedics to come to the house first to check her vitals. And they did, and everything was fine. All of her vital signs were fine, but she was laying over our shoulder, just like deep, heavy breathing, and she was kind of wheezing, and she was very lethargic. And the paramedic said, there's something wrong with her. She needs to go to the ER. So we went to the ER, and that's when they just started to try to get IVs in, and she was so dehydrated that they couldn't have, I don't know if they didn't have a small enough needle to get the IV in, or if they just couldn't find any way to get one in. I mean, they tried every place, forehead, foot, like every place to try to get a IV in, and they couldn't do it.
And so then you advised the transporter?
Yes. They wanted to life flight her, but they told us that the weather was too bad. They couldn't take the helicopter up. So luckily for us, Children's Mercy was already on their way to transport someone else. So we got on that truck, and they took her back to Children's Mercy that
night. Funny how things work out.
It is.
Part of what I was trying to drive at is to get an endorsement for the hospital, because the services you got, particularly the emergency room, could be in jeopardy with this deal with Stormont Vale. And I know, Kent, I know you've been really happy with people and the doctors at Newman Hospital.
Yeah, no, I've had a great experience. And wasn't she diagnosed right before Christmas?
Right after
Christmas.
Yep, okay. It was December 28th.
Yeah.
We were actually in Kansas City at Mike's parents, and we knew the weather was getting bad, so we decided to come home early. And now I'm kicking myself because I'm like, we should have just stayed. We would have been right there. But
Would you have gone to Children's Mercy?
I don't know if we would have gone to Children's Mercy or where we would have gone.
Because you wouldn't have known at
yeah,
that point
we wouldn't
either,
have known.
I just kind of consider it's kind of like a Christmas miracle that, you know, that ambulance was on its way.
Yes.
Because if you couldn't have flown because of the weather, you'd have had to figure a way to drive up there, which wouldn't have been easy.
No.
And she may not have made it.
Right.
It's very possible. So,
had diabetes crossed your mind?
No. Actually, when they said you're going to want to go home and pack a bag for about a week, we think she might be a type 1 diabetic, I looked at them confused because I had no idea what that even meant. And so we went home and packed our bag, and they went ahead and took her on the truck, and we just met them there. But before we left, we had been educated on diabetes, all of it, everybody in her hospital room that was there, family members, had to at least give her an injection of insulin before we could leave.
Would you say that the kids and the parents that are in Kaylin's class at school are aware of Team SNAC and what it stands for and the symptoms?
So every year we've been lucky to have Kent come to her classroom and talk about it to her classmates and her teacher. So I think most of them do. Every year she has different kids in her class. And do they ask you about it?
They do sometimes, but they're now just really used to it because they're my friends and they're just used to it now since I've been in their class for many years.
But they're there to help you if something happens. They know to get a teacher or something if you're in trouble.
Yes, they do.
Her teacher did just say the other day that if Kaylin leaves her phone behind or her bag behind, they're like, Kaylin, wait, you need this. And so they are very aware of it.
You must be special.
A little.
Just wait a little.
But it's pretty cool that they don't treat you differently, though, that they're your friends and they don't ever make fun of you or anything like that. So.
But at the same time, if one of them needs help, you're there to help them, right?
Yes.
So that's what it is. And I foresee you being a counselor at camp someday, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be good at it.
You're going back to camp?
Mm-hmm.
You said swimming and was one of your favorite activities?
Yes.
Did they tell ghost stories or anything like that?
The last night there, we go to this, like, it's kind of like a camp place where they have a fire and stuff, and we just go there and people, like, tell ghost stories.
People tell their own stories?
Yeah.
But they don't make things up and try to scare you, huh? You're going to be a great spokesman. You're doing a great job here today. You can help Kent.
Yeah.
Do you be willing to do that?
You want to go in the truck with me to Florida in the Big Bear?
Yes.
You do? Well, I don't know that we can make that happen because Natalie wants to go on to that trip too. So, but when you get old enough, you can go with me, all right?
Okay.
Deal.
You'd be willing to be a spokesman about type 1 diabetes?
Yeah.
So, Kent, let's talk a little bit about your schedule. Your next ride, is it in Florida? That's where you're
correct.
Headed?
Amelia Island, Florida, and it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So Natalie and I are driving to Denver for Thanksgiving to be with our whole family will be out there. And then I'll take off from there, and I'll drive to Florida. And this year she's taken all three of our granddaughters. So she'll be flying with one of our granddaughters from Denver back to Kansas City, spend the night, pick up the other two granddaughters, fly to Florida. I got to get to Florida in time to pick them up from the airport, and we'll spend 3 or 4 days down there together. And I'll drive back to Emporia, and she'll fly back to Kansas City, fly back to Denver, and then drive back to Denver. Other than that, it's not going to be too complicated.
Not at all.
Yes.
What about your niece, your 13-year-old niece?
Michelle?
Yeah.
You know, she's turned into a 24-year-old niece now, and she is a nurse at a big hospital in Houston and does pediatrics. And she graduated from Texas A&M with full honor. She's a wonderful young lady, and one of the things she's always told me, she's very appreciative of the work Natalie and I do and all the people in her family have helped her with, but she wants to give back, so she loves helping kids, and that's her way of showing it. So she's wonderful. She's great.
Kim, any final thoughts?
I just want to say thank you to everybody that supports Team Schnack and us because, I mean, this disease is not easy to live with. We do it. We have to do it. And it's always fun and something for Kaylin to look forward to every year to be able to go to camp.
It's probably nice, although you also have an acorn at home, huh?
Yeah. Yes.
What's her name?
Michaela.
Michaela.
Yes.
So, is she a good little sister?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Say that a little louder so everybody hears.
Sometimes.
What does she do that upsets you?
She annoys me.
Annoys you. You don't ever annoy her, do you?
Sometimes.
This has been fun. It's the on-air chat. Team Snack, Kent Snackenberg has been with us, along with Kim Laporto and Kaylin Laporto. Kaylin is a victim of type 1 diabetes, but she's pretty much made the case here. Her life has turned to normal other than a little annoyance. You get annoyed every day when you have to test and all that, but you're handling it pretty well. Hey, thanks for being here, Kaylin.
You're welcome.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Was it less scary than you thought?
Was it not scary? No.
Kim, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story. Kent, thank you as well.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, as always. Everything you do for us and the community and this radio station, Emporia is a better place because of KVOE.
Thank you so much. Next week, here on the chat, Mickey Edwards and... Oh, can't think of his name. Thought I had it written down. Alex. And I can't, that last name is Polish. But anyway, they're with Rotary Club. They're going to come talk about the grocery grab, and then they're going to talk about all the good work that Rotary does worldwide. Rotary has been the leader in polio retraction and for years. And does a lot of good, like all the service clubs do. With that said, this has been the on-air chat brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Talk of Emporia is next. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
KVOE, live and local.